Starting us off today, the Junior League is an international women's organization that strives to promote change through volunteerism. The Junior League of Cincinnati, the organization's local branch, has been working to improve our community since it was founded 96 years ago. And joining us to talk about the Junior League of Cincinnati and how it works to make Cincinnati a better place are Junior League President Michelle Vaith and Vice President of Community Impact Danielle Deja. Danielle and Michelle, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us, Mark. It's really a pleasure to be here.
96 years. You're closing in on 100. That's amazing for the local branch.
We certainly are. You know, the first Junior League was started in 1901 by a woman named Mary Harriman in New York City. And she and some like-minded friends decided that they had more to do in their lives than just go to parties and do the debutante thing. And they said, we want to do something to help our community, and we've got the brains and the will to do it. And that was the first Junior League, born in 1901. And in Cincinnati, we caught that fever in 1920.
So how did the local branch come about? Started in 1920? What was the thought there?
Yeah, it was, it had started to spread west throughout the country. So it started on the East Coast in New York City. And it's funny, if you take a look at the map of how Junior Leagues expanded, it really does look like all the older ones are on your East Coast, and then as you move west, they get newer and newer. But there was a need in Cincinnati, particularly around providing milk for babies. And our first Junior League started in 1920, and they were focused on creating a fund called Baby's Milk Fund to provide for needy kids in the Cincinnati community. And in the 96 years since, we have launched, over 120 projects to serve our community.
How many Junior League branches are there around the country? Do you have any idea?
There are dozens. They're even in the hundreds. And it's not just in the U.S. There's also Junior Leagues in Canada, in Mexico, and also in the U.K.
Any idea how many members?
Well, here in Cincinnati, we have almost 1,000 members. And if,
wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
And if you go to other cities, it can vary to be much bigger, especially if you get down south. There are some really giant powerhouse leagues in Houston and Atlanta. And the New York League is also pretty enormous. But here in Ohio, there are also leagues in Columbus, in Youngstown, in Cleveland, and in Toledo. And they vary in size across the spectrum.
So what's the makeup of the league's membership? Is it a mix of ages and different professions, Danielle? How would
yes.
you describe it?
Yeah, absolutely. We have women who are in their early 20s, and we have members that are well into their 80s. I think our oldest member is approaching 100. So we have members that are very active in terms of their participation in the league. And then we have league members who have been a part of the league for many, many years but continue to support us, through their mentorship.
Now, how do they join? How do they first join? How do they get involved?
Well, we have a lot of membership recruitment events, actually, or sometimes if someone knows someone who's already in the league, or a member knows of a woman who is turning 21 and she's very civic-minded, that's when our members can start to recruit these ladies into the league. But the general, it's a very open system. Basically, if you're a woman over 21 years old, you are more than welcome to join the Junior League of Cincinnati.
Michelle, how did you first get involved?
My story is funny. I actually moved here about 18 years ago. I'm from upstate New York, Rochester, New York, originally, and I graduated from school to go and work for Procter & Gamble. And that was 1998. And my first 4 years here, it was a lot of stops and starts of making friends. I didn't really know anybody here, and I was trying to find that network where I really fit in, outside of my workplace environment. And in the late 90s and the early 2000s were a very different scene for young professionals than it is today. It's amazing to see what's going on today. And it was my mother who actually suggested that I join the Junior League. And she was not a Junior Leaguer herself, but she had heard of their cookbook. And she thought, hey, they got a great cookbook, and it sounds like it's a really smart group of women, so why don't you reach out? And I did, and I made just a wonderful group of friends. And have stuck with it since.
When you say things are a lot different for young professionals these days, what do you mean? More involvement?
I think it was was just, you didn't have as many options. You know, if you think back to the late 90s and the early 2000s, downtown looked very different just from a physical standpoint. The banks didn't exist yet. We didn't have the revival going on around in the Gateway Quarter or, you know, Main Street was had some stuff going on right around that time. But we also had the riots in 2001. So it was a different time to be a 20-something in the city back then, I think.
Danielle, tell us the story how you got involved
Sure.
with the Junior League.
Absolutely, Mark. I joined the Junior League of Cincinnati back in 2008. Like Michelle, I wasn't from Cincinnati and was really looking for a way that I could become more involved in our community. I met someone who happened to be a part of the league, and it seemed to be a natural fit for me, and so I've been here ever since.
Michelle, how do you describe the organization's mission?
The mission is to promote volunteerism and promote women as trained volunteers so that we can work to address gaps that exist in our community.
What are some of the major issues that you've tackled through the years?
Sure. So, Mark, I'll take that one. We have, as Michelle mentioned, supported more than 120 projects in the past 96 years, many of which have left a real stamp on our community and continue to do so today. So if you think about the Children's Theater of Cincinnati, the Children's Museum of Cincinnati, the Fire Museum, Mind Peace, Fernside, Pro Kids, those are all organizations that were really founded by the Junior League of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, you want to add anything into that?
That's a pretty comprehensive list, actually. There was over 120 of them, and we're really proud that there's still so many serving the community today. We're incubating two projects at the moment, and one is called Grin Up, and it's focused on children's oral health, and the other one is called Refugee Connect, which works to help coordinate systems for refugees that are placed in our community.
Okay, and we'll talk some more about those. In what ways, if any, has the organization's mission changed over the years?
You know, at the end of the day, the mission has stayed pretty consistent. It has really been about maximizing the potential of women through that trained volunteerism. And a long time ago, the Junior League was one of the only places where women could really learn and hone skills on a volunteer basis. That's not the case today. There's lots of places where women can go and volunteer in our community today. But the Junior League does have this proud history of being able to provide that training for women to then go off into the community and use those skills to help better the community.
Okay, and tell us some more about these current projects. Grin Up, I mean, Danielle,
sure.
I mean, this is all about, this is an important topic.
It is, Mark. It's a really important topic. So Grin Up, it really is a public advocacy campaign and education crusade, really committed and focused on educating children, kids of all ages, healthy dental habits. I was shocked to find out that 51% of children under the age of 10 have some form of dental decay. Even more shocking to me was that Cincinnati Children's performs over 2,000 full mouth reconstructions each year on children under the age of 4. The saddest part about that is that dental decay is nearly 100% preventable with the appropriate education on dental habits and healthy oral hygiene.
Well, and dental health can cause so many different problems for kids, can it? I mean,
it does.
Yeah. It absolutely can. Yeah. I worked in P&G's oral care unit for a really long time. That was the first place that I was exposed to it. And it was right around that time that the league started considering this project. And Daniel's absolutely right. It's 100% preventable. And there's a lot of unnecessary suffering that kids have as a result of, you know, poor oral health.
I heard their confidence. It can hurt them in school and it can hurt their ability to speak.
Especially concentration in school. It's really hard to pay attention to the teacher when you have pain in your mouth and in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's such, I mean, it's not a simple thing, but boy, if we can just help kids, you know, to have the access to care and to the consistent oral health regimen that you need, it's pretty basic stuff about brushing and flossing. if that helps a kid have a better education, wow, that's a pretty amazing thing.
Now, you have dentists who are involved in helping you with
we
this?
We do. We have, yeah. In fact, you want to talk
about we're very fortunate, Mark. A number of our league members happen to be pediatric dentists, and so this is a topic that they are also very passionate about. It allowed us to really work with a group of dentists in the region, and out of that, the Children's Oral Health Network has been formed, and that's something that our league members actively participate in as well.
Now, you've got an event on April 30th has to do with Grin Up, right?
Yes, yeah. We couldn't be more excited. We're going back into the Children's Museum, and we are opening a new exhibit. The exhibit is titled Inside the Grin. It is coming along amazingly. It will allow children, through an interactive experience, to learn how to care for their teeth. The exhibit itself is actually a giant mouth. And so the children will literally walk into the mouth, and there are teeth that are larger than life that they'll be able to play with and floss. There is a dental chair that they will be able to sit in, complete with the tools to really get them comfortable with what it feels like to go to the dentist's office and to visit a dentist for the first time.
How many kids do you think you're going to reach through this program?
Oh, we're hoping a lot. Yeah. Oh, you mean through the Inside the Grin in particular?
Well, the whole Grin Up program. I mean, how many?
Thousands. I mean, the Museum Center itself hosts over 1 million guests each year. So that is one way for us to really reach a large audience of children. Beyond that, through some of the other activities and education that we're doing out in the community, we are reaching out through brush programs to some of the local schools as well. So we're touching children locally, but also those visiting the museum.
And we'll continue our conversation about the Junior League. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Junior League President Michelle Vaith and Vice President of Community Impact Danielle Deja. And you can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we were talking about the current project you're involved in. The other one is called Refugee Connect. Tell us about what that is.
Sure, Mark. So Refugee Connect is really a project of ours that is focused on improving the lives of refugees that are living in Greater Cincinnati. Right now, there's an estimated 12,000 to 25,000 refugees that are living in our community. We feel that we have a responsibility to ensure that we are helping them integrate into our community, that they are learning, a new culture, how to adapt to a new society, and that we're setting them up for success. So we've worked with other providers, service providers in our community to really start to bring those services together and bring awareness to the needs of refugees.
Michelle, how much of this is a Refugee Connect involves raising awareness about the refugees in our area? For example, when Danielle says there are as many as 12,000 and up, that's something I never knew that the community was that large.
I know. I didn't know that either until we started tackling this issue within the community. There's a number of things that we try to do to raise awareness. One of the main ones, maybe Danielle can talk a bit more about, is the soccer tournament, the World Refugee Cup soccer tournament that we've hosted two summers in a row now at Withrow High School, and we will be doing it again this summer, right?
That's right. It's coming up on June 4th, and we're really excited to host that for the third year in a row. Typically, we have somewhere around 20 teams, mostly made up of refugees from across the world, who will come together and compete in a World Cup-style soccer tournament.
How many people usually, how many teams did you say, 20?
20 teams. 20 teams, yeah.
Okay.
So we do two different brackets. We have a student bracket, which is high school students, and then we have an adult bracket for adult teams.
How many soccer fans do you typically get for this?
That's grown year over year, and we're hoping that that will increase even more this year, Mark.
Okay. So how much of this is a collaborative effort, Danielle? I mean, who's involved in making Refugee Connect work?
Sure. So Refugee Connect is a project of the Junior League of Cincinnati, but certainly there are other service providers out in the community that support refugees as well. One of the things that we have started through this program program is the Refugee Empowerment Initiative. This is a quarterly forum that the Junior League brings together service providers across the community really to talk about refugee issues and to really ensure alignment across the organizations and where we can work together for the greater good. The soccer tournament is a great example of that. Last year, we worked with Catholic Charities and they hosted, in coordination with the soccer tournament, they hosted a potluck lunch for refugees living in the community that they could come and also have a cookout while the soccer tournament was occurring.
Now, the primary goal, as I understand it, you want to create a sustainable support system for refugees.
That's right.
Through a physical virtual resource center. And how far along are you on that particular goal?
That's right. So we're in the process right now of building out the virtual resource center. We've done a lot of analysis the past couple of years to collect information to support to be supported in this virtual resource center. And now we're in the execution phase of really making that available to refugees, but also to service providers. One of the things that we found is a refugee may come to one service provider and they may have a number of needs. We're trying to create a resource that a service provider could go in and understand for this individual, what are the different agencies that I could reach out to help them service this refugee.
And so you get involved in a lot of public service projects, a lot of social issues. Mm-hmm. Does the League, Michelle, get active in political issues as well?
No, not so much in political. You know, we are a 501c3, so we cannot be a lobbying organization by law. We do get involved in advocacy behind certain issues, though. A former project of the Junior League of Cincinnati, which still exists as its own entity today, is MindPeace, which focuses on providing a coordinated system of care for children's mental health in our region. And when we first started our work on MindPeace, gosh, it was about 10 years ago. And at the time, in the state of Ohio, we did not have any insurance parity for mental health versus other kinds of health care. And our league did get involved with the other junior leagues that I mentioned in the state of Ohio to go to Columbus and have conversations with some of our state leaders. And we feel proud that we were able to move the needle on children's mental health through that process. That's just one example.
So you don't get involved on the political lobbying side, but you do make your voice heard about certain issues. Speaking of making your voices, you had a musical group. Do you still have that?
Our choral group. Yeah, that is our longest running project. It's over 50 years now, isn't it, Danielle?
Wow.
Yeah, over 50 years. And this is an incredible group of ladies who put together an absolutely fantastic show every year, and they go and they visit nursing homes and provide entertainment for the residents at these nursing homes. We touch so many residents of Cincinnati through that program. It's just hundreds, if not thousands, every year.
That's right. And they're an amazing group of women to see perform.
So tell me about some of the women who are in the group, Danielle.
So some of the members of the choral group, you know, we mentioned earlier that the age range of some of our membership. So there are members who are part of the choral group that are have been a part of the league for a number of years, including some of our oldest, most sustaining members.
Okay. Now, with 1,000 members, Michelle, how exactly are you organized? I mean, do you have a board? Do you have committees? Do you have certain numbers of times that you meet during the month? I mean, how's that work?
Sure, absolutely. We have about, I would say about 300 what we call active members. So those are members with less than 7 years with the league. And then we have about 650 or so what we call sustaining members, so members who would have more than 7 years of experience with the league. And we do have a governance board of directors. We also have an executive management team, which meets monthly. The board of directors meets quarterly. And we have general membership meetings, which take place every month during really the active part of the year, which is from September to May. And we're set up on a system of councils that focus on different areas of the work of the league. For example, one of the biggest things that we do is provide training and development programs for our members. It's one of the benefits of being a member. And we have an entire council that is dedicated to developing and recruiting those trainers and trainings that we need for our members. that's essentially how we're organized. There's those councils, and then the work is divided up amongst committees that sit on those councils.
How much of an impact do you think you've had on the community?
I think we've had a tremendous impact on the community with almost a century behind this organization. You know, there aren't a whole lot of organizations that have been around that long, working, you know, with that many projects that are still around today. The league doesn't do much really to talk about its past projects. We tend to focus on the ones that we're working on right now. But when you add it all up, it's a pretty humbling impact that's happened on Cincinnati.
Now, you've got some recruiting events coming up. One of those is at the Fire Museum, is that right?
We do. That's the one on March 4th, actually. Okay. That's on March 4th at 5:30 in the evening at the Fire Museum, which is a former Junior League project. The Junior League created the Fire Museum of Cincinnati. We have the, I don't know if you know, but Cincinnati has the oldest professional fire department in the country. And I want to give a shout out to Engine 46 in Hyde Park Square. Because they were the ones that made sure I knew that fact. And my husband is a Cincinnati firefighter. So anyway, but yes, so there's a connection between the league and the Fire Museum. But we also have a membership recruitment
event.
You
actually helped create the Fire Museum.
The league created the Fire Museum. Yep. Yep, it did. We have another membership recruitment event happening this Saturday. So tomorrow at 10 in the morning at the Children's Theater.
How did the Fire Museum come about? How did the league get involved in that?
That's interesting. That was before my time. Was well before my time. But there was a passion, you know, within the community about the city's heritage as, you know, being the place, the birthplace of professional firefighting. And there was a lot of history that needed to be preserved there. And you've probably been by the Fire Museum here in downtown Cincinnati. It's in an old firehouse, and the archives that they have are just incredible. It's a fun place to go visit.
So what's in store for the league in the future? You have anything in mind?
Well, we are very soon, within the next year, we're going to be embarking on our next program development, because we've been incubating our two current projects for a few years now. And our model tends to be that we spend a year, sometimes 2 years, speaking with members of the community, and sometimes even requesting proposals from different groups in the community for how the league could help develop a project or work with another organization to serve a particular need. And then once we identify that need, we sort of structure around it, we fundraise around it, and then if it's the right thing to do, we then spin it off into its own nonprofit. And then we set about tackling the next issue. And we are about to get into the next phase within the next couple of years of, determining the future for both Grin Up and for Refugee Connect, likely to become their own entities. And then we will move on to focus on what's the next need. So we're about to go into that program development phase within the next year.
So if people want more information on the Junior League of Cincinnati, what's the website again?
It's jlcincinnati.org.
Okay, and you can find a link to that at wvxu.org. And Danielle and Michelle, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Junior League President Michelle Vaith and Vice President of Community Impact, Danielle Deja.